Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, it's Joe Hospidor.
Hello.
Hello. It's good to see you again.
It's also good to see you again and all your posters as well.
Oh, dude. Thank you. I can't tell. What are your posters? I see them briefly, but I can't. The tops are cut off.
Yeah. This is all from Outside Lands up in San Francisco, and then we have the same LCD sound system poster.
That's right.
Yeah, most of these are San Francisco music festivals. I think this is a Ty Siegel poster back there, and Built to Spill up in the corner. Yes, nice. They're all around.
There are some good posters. Yeah. I love a good concert poster.
I love a good concert art poster, man. Apologies. Is the video of this going to be online as well? Just out of curiosity?
It's on YouTube, but there's
I just apologize
cares.
To the viewers then for that, like, seesaw of a camera angle.
They will live with it, all right? The 12 people who watch this podcast on YouTube, as opposed to the majority of people who listen to it.
Listen, I just want to put on a visual spectacle. That's all I do on the podcast scene, man. I really need to just put the visuals in there.
Because podcasts are all about the visuals, as everybody knows. I'm so conflicted about talking to you about this movie. Because you picked, you picked a movie that I rewatched during COVID and forgot how much I liked it. I rewatched again. I was telling Joe beforehand, I was flying in before we recorded, and I watched it on the plane, and I was still like, yeah, it's still getting it done for me. And I'm just gonna come in with a blank slate because I want to hear you out, and I'm intrigued because you hate Ocean's 11.
I cannot stand this movie. I absolutely cannot. And before I get into this, I have to be very clear. I have seen this movie at least 20 times. Have seen this movie. This is not just like some casual offhand dislike, you know, oh, I'm not really into that. This is a full-on war with this movie. I have rewatched this movie and I've given it so many second and third and fourth and fifth chances, and there's nothing there for me. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm so sorry.
Apologize to me.
Here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of like yucking other people's yum. You know, I think that all movies are very, you know, art's open to interpretation. And some people like watching a bunch of handsome men trot around and rob a casino for, you know, 2 hours. And like, I think that there is a, there's an audience there, and there is a clearly a clientele that's being served. So far be it from me to judge, but I'm going to for the sake of this podcast. And I hope that you can at least appreciate my side of things.
That's what I want to try and do. Yeah. You know, I think I can understand potential reasons why somebody might not like this movie. But I want to know why you don't. Like, it's so do you hate fun? Do you hate handsome men? Do you hate wry dialogue? Do you hate the classic blue and orange shooting style that is prevalent throughout
the
movie?
Oh, the color palette's a whole other podcast, Jay. That's a whole other podcast. That actually extends throughout the entire Ocean cinematic universe. Whole other chapter. Let me just preface this by saying this is my mom's favorite movie of all time.
Okay.
And my mom exclusively watched this movie, I would say, from the years 2001 to 2007. This also, I believe set the table for my mom's appreciation and love for the hit series on HBO Entourage, with just the Ritz and the celebration of you know, fame and fortune and jazz and whatnot,
glamour,
you know,
the
Ritz
stuff,
and the glamour, you know, the hoopla.
Pools.
That's a big reach though. And again, you know, that's a whole other rabbit hole I can go down into. Here's why I have a problem with what has been called a perfect film by Lights, Camera, Barstool. My problem with this movie is it is fundamentally flawed. And if you, I know that, and I'm not just talking about, like, I know this is a remake, you know, we can go to the Rat Pack thing, like, you know, it's a 1960 film before that. I am exclusively pointing at the 2001 film. And here is why. This is a movie that's supposed to be about 11 just elite A-list heist con men coming together to pull off the greatest heist, arguably, of all time in the Las Vegas casino scene. And I have a lot of appreciation for, you know, spy movies. And I know that traditionally spy movies feature handsome men. You know, you've got James Bond. We've got Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. We've got, I'd even throw the Bourne Identity into there. You know, not exactly a spy movie, more of a thriller, but, you know.
Still, hey, handsome men running around all over the world. A hallmark of the genre.
Here's the thing. I can believe in certain situations, one handsome man working undercover to try and save the world as a lone wolf, you know, working with a network of people behind them. What I can't buy into is a crew of people coming together and one person being like, I need to rob the largest pile of money in the most populated center of the country for casino Ritz and glamour. And I need to do it in the most undetectable way possible. My instinct is to send in 11 smoke shows, just 11 of the most handsome men who individually would command the attention of any room that they're in. Not only prancing around in broad daylight and, you know, going around undetected, but doing it like without any consequence, and also wearing disguises in this weird, like Clark Kent-y way, where it's like you can clearly tell that's Matt Damon just with glasses.
Right.
It's so frustrating to watch this movie, and it's asking me to suspend so much disbelief, Jay. I mean, you're sending in this Met Gala of a men's soccer team to just rob left and right and to remain undetected. Matt Damon as a pickpocket. I mean, in what world does a man like Matt Damon look at himself in the mirror and think, God gave me a perfect body, I should stay in Chicago and rob people on the L for a living? What mindset am I supposed to buy into for that? No.
There's no world in which Matt Damon is living a life where he's trying to wear layers and cover up that chiseled body that he has developed over the years. I get
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not. And it's insulting for a film to assume that I, as an audience member, would be able to like sit in broad daylight and watch these people do all this behind my back. Like, it's not just like one of them going around and like, you know, I could even buy, you know, like some of the Bernie Mac scenes. I could buy a couple of, like, when Matt Damon is the Nevada Gaming Commission guy at the end, almost can buy it, almost. But, like, I just can't buy this whole, like, you know, he's got that thing with the nose, or is that, I think that's 12.
13.
I don't know. That's 13. Thank you.
Yeah.
They blend together because they're also bad.
Well, 13 is so ridiculous. 13 is takes it to a whole other level of ridiculousness. And
I think you're absolutely right. 13 is that
it's like clown level ridiculous.
The thing is, 11 already shot the rocket through the roof, and 12 and 13 is just the firework exploding in the sky. It's like we've already ascended this realm of reality, and now this is just a full on Cirque du Soleil of like ritz and glamour.
Vegas references. It's stuck in your brain.
It's funny that you bring up 13 though, and I don't want to get too off topic because I know these are all individual films, but in 12, you know, I was talking to someone about this and they were like, well, you know, it's a movie. And, you know, Matt Damon doesn't exist in this universe. You know, George Clooney doesn't exist in this universe. So, like, maybe it is just, you know, they happen to be handsome and talented. And you know what? Fair. I can kind of believe that. You know, I don't, you know, like, look at the Fast and the Furious movies. There's another, you know, a group of a heist, you know, very handsome people coming together. But again, they're loud. They come in loud. They wear it. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're
crashing cars into buildings. Yeah.
Running safes left and right, you know, like, and I appreciate the honesty of that because they know that they're going to command the attention and they run with it. What bothers me about Ocean's 12 though, is that there's a particular scene, I think at like near the end when Tess, Julia Roberts in the movie, pretends to be the real life Julia Roberts at like some red carpet event and like mm-hmm. poses as her to like rob a Fabergé egg or something. And like, again, this argument this person was making then falls flat on its face, because if we are in a reality where Tess is a lookalike to Julia Roberts, that means that anytime that she's in a room, people are going to assume that that's Julia Roberts.
Right.
And if Julia Roberts exists in that world, then I have to assume that the real George Clooney also exists, that the real Matt Damon also exists, which means that all these people came together in a casino, and not at no point did all the thousands of people walking around the Bellagio, the MGM Grand, and the Mirage. Yeah. None of them were like, is that George Clooney?
Mm-hmm.
Like... It pulls me totally out of it. I can't buy it.
I have a question for you, and I'm going to run through. Okay. So first of all, rest in peace, Carl Reiner, but if he were listening to this or Eddie Jemison were listening to this, I'm sure they would thank you for calling them handsome men, at this stage in the game.
Carl Reiner's
a charmer, but Carl Reiner's not. He's definitely the least attractive of the handsome men in this movie. I'll give him that.
I'd say Carl Reiner and Eddie Jemison, like, still in any room are a solid 8. Like, yes, in like a probably. Normal in Vegas, especially. No offense, but like, you know, when you're wandering around casinos where, you know, the clientele is mostly senior citizens, Carl Reiner's a catch.
Oh, you're actually, that's a good point. I didn't even think Carl Reiner is definitely like, if he walks in any slot machine room in any Fremont Street casino, he's pulling tail.
All eyes.
So I'm going to run through some of the other potential cast members.
Please.
And I want you to tell me if you think any of them would be more or less believable than the current cast. The original role that Matt Damon was supposed to play, Linus Caldwell, was originally Johnny Depp was considered for that role originally. Better or worse?
So that's interesting, because I had read that Mark Wahlberg was also cast as well.
Mark Wahlberg had also originally been cast in that, but he left to go do Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I didn't know Johnny Depp had also been. Interesting. Honestly, I think that anytime I think of Johnny Depp in Vegas, my mind obviously goes to Hunter S. Thompson, Fear and Loathing. Mm-hmm. So I think I would just automatically be pulled out of that because of that. You know, okay. My mind is already so glued to that. So that's not necessarily a knock on Johnny Depp so much as just his sensibilities have already been associated with another film. Character-wise, though, I think that he does have a tendency to drop into roles. And mm-hmm. this movie is kind of supposed to, you know, in a heist movie where people are supposed to be playing characters, that could have been a fun thing to play with. It might have also been a distraction. I could go either way on that, to be honest.
The other interesting casting that I've seen talked about here is... For the Malloy twins, which were ultimately played by Casey Affleck and Scott Kahn, there's the one, the Wilson twins or brothers, Luke and Owen Wilson, were originally in discussions to play them. And then also Joel and Ethan Coen
Really?
They were also considered. Now, what do you think? Do those guys? Do any of those guys potentially leave you in a world that's more believable?
Luke and Owen Wilson, no. That's just throwing more handsome gasoline onto the fire. I mean, that's
a real pretty fire.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous fire.
I'm going to stare at that fire all night. I'm going to stare at those embers until they burn out completely.
Although now that you mention that, like now, just because like I feel like, you know, Luke and Owen Wilson have, you know, like so much history starring in like Wes Anderson films. Now I'm just imagining what this film will be like if Wes Anderson had directed it. Could have been more fun.
They had to leave the role because they were in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So if they, if they'd stuck around, this would have been Royal Tenenbaums would be very different. But I would also love to see a heist movie directed by Wes Anderson. That would be.
I feel like Fantastic Mr. Fox is that movie, but that's
animated. Yeah.
So like, I would love to see. Although he did Bottle Rocket too, didn't he? Wasn't it? And that had Owen Wilson in it. But that's more of like.
That's more of a robbery. Yeah, Fantastic Mr. Fox is definitely his Ocean's 11, which also Fantastic Mr. Fox, a much better movie than Ocean's 11.
But who voiced Fantastic Mr. Fox, Jay?
George Clooney.
Exactly.
But and you know what? He's a good looking fox in that movie, too.
He is a handsome ass fox. So I guess in a way, George Clooney and Owen Wilson did get their heist after all, because they're all in that movie.
But what about the Coen brothers? Can they pull it off?
That's a really interesting question. I don't know. I associate this cast of, you know, chiseled men as kind of like an all or nothing. For me, I look at other heist movies, like I said, you know, Fast and the Furious and maybe like The Italian Job. And, you know, I see a group where, you know, you have maybe one or two handsome people, but then, and no knock on anybody, you know, cause I, again, beauty is, you know, the eye of the beholder and all that. I'm just like, this movie is clearly very much leaning into physically handsome people. Like this movie, it's just Andy Garcia, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Casey Affleck. Mm-hmm. And that's just a start. So
Don Cheadle,
exactly, and like even with the Cockney accent, still you would put it aside. As far as the Coen brothers go, though, I feel like again, like you know, the Coen brothers have experience working with George Clooney. They have experience working with these people as directors, but like I don't know if being on screen with them would really like serve this movie any more than it already has, because I think. At the end of the day, for me, watching this heist movie, it's not the actual heist that bothers me. I like the concept of robbing a casino. I like the idea of, you know, sticking it to the man, getting back at your girlfriend or your girlfriend's new boyfriend. And like, I like, there's a good plot here. It's just the execution and the way it's done versus what I had to suspend in order to believe that plan just doesn't work for me. So even with... switching out the cast members, I don't know if fundamentally that would alter it for me, because I think at the end of the day, if George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Casey Affleck and Matt Damon are, you know, pick two and I'm still not really into it, all four, come on.
This is fascinating. Because I'm trying to, because it's, I have a, I completely understand where you're coming from, but we're just on two different islands where like I am able to, I wouldn't say suspend my disbelief, but I will say that I am able to buy into the stakes of the situation, despite the fact that you have a cast full of just a bunch of panty droppers in there, you know. Like there's an element of it that adds to the fun of the movie for me, because I feel like why I like this movie so much, and why I would imagine other people like this movie. I mean, looking at some of the reviews of it, people say Entertainment Weekly put it on the best of the heist scene is on its best of list of the decade. And it's got an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, generally favorable views, B plus on CinemaScore. I think it's because it's fun, and also you get to watch a bunch of handsome dudes having fun and sticking it to the man in the way that all these dumpy theater goers are never going to be able to do. It's like wish fulfillment on a couple levels. Like, you get to watch the heist happen, but also you get to watch it and be like, I could be that handsome man doing that heist.
But if I wanted to be a quote unquote, using your term, like a dumpy theater goer, like, you know, wanting to watch handsome people, you know, do what they will. Mm-hmm. I like, put them in a Marvel movie. Put them in like, let me know going into this that the stakes are already going to be out of this world unbelievable. Like, okay. If it's a fantasy film, like, I'm not against handsome people in movies. But I am against is watching just 11 Calvin Klein mannequins claw their way undetected through casino security and, like, not have one of the security guards in the pit be like, that is the most handsome man I've ever seen in the world. How am I supposed to not keep my eyes on this guy?
You know,
in
that scene when Brad Pitt is the doctor and he's given Carl Reiner CPR, the only reason they don't buy that he's actually doing CPR properly is because he's so handsome. You got to know. Again, we all know that.
You're making my argument for me now. So come over to my island. I'll give you a boat. You know, we'll schooner you over here. And please join this school of thought.
I just it's such a fun time, though. I enjoy so much about this movie the craft of the movie is good, but it's not like, you know, it resonates, you know, like, I don't know why it resonated with me, but it made me feel. It just made me feel like I was having a good time. And I think that might be, okay. I have a question for you. If they did Ocean's 11, but with only character actors, would you buy into that reality? Like, you get Patton Oswalt, Brian Dennehy, I mean, the ringer you'll have is you'll have Bill Murray as your lead or something like that, right? But if it's only character actors playing these roles, can you buy into it?
I'm going to make 2 points.
Okay.
The first of which I will just say flat out, if you told me that you were going to rob a casino, and you said it's going to be a team of people, including, you know, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, or Casey Affleck, or it's just Richard Kind for an hour and 45 minutes. I am going door number two every single time. I 100% would watch that.
I would love to watch Richard Kind rob a bank and rob a casino. I don't even love to watch rob anything.
No. Rob anything. Yeah, please do the Dark Knight scene at the beginning. It's just Richard Kind in a mask, please. Here's the thing. I feel like we've actually explored this rabbit hole before, because I feel like they've done so many like knockoff films of like robbing casinos after Ocean's 11 with character actors because of the school of thought. There's like that Morgan Freeman movie with where they like rob a casino that came out a few years ago.
I'm thinking of the one that I can immediately think of, like, the old person hangover knockoffs that came out.
Maybe that's what it was. Last Vegas or whatever.
Yeah. That's a hangover.
Or was it? Oh, no. I was thinking of, Going in Style, but I got both of those confused.
Going in Style. I've never even heard of that.
Michael Caine and Alan Arkin.
Going in Style.
I just combined those two movies in my head. I thought they were the same thing. But I think that like that one's about like three old people that have to like plan a robbery somewhere because like they lose their social security or something. But
Morgan Freeman is in that movie.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Alan Arkin. But it's also, that's a remake of a 79 movie. That maybe, wait, did that come out after? Oh, God. Did that come out after? Did this movie come out after the original Ocean's 11? Hold on.
The original Ocean's 11 was 1960. Yeah, so this would be after.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
We've got ourselves a lot of, a lot of parallels going on right now.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't want to get too far off track, right, but to answer your question, would I see an Ocean's 11 remake with all character actors? I would, but I also don't think that it would necessarily be the same. Cause like you said, you wanted to go to the movie because it was fun, because it was like this cool, sexy, suave robbery movie, right? It's got this kind of,
I guess, I mean, I would Cine say
Royale vibe, or
the first time I went to the movie, it's because my church youth group decided to go to this because we couldn't get it.
Oh, okay. We go, we're gonna unpack that. Okay. Your church youth group watched a heist movie in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I love this.
We, okay. Oh yeah, dude, it was my, I think it was one of the first movies I saw with my church youth group.
And I forgot, it was a fun time. In the Ten Commandments, they specifically say thou shalt not steal unless you are George Clooney, Matt Damon, robbing a casino in Vegas. Yeah.
Yes. Of course. And that's, they had to just, we got to see the visual representation of that famous Bible story.
Of course. Yeah. Mel Gibson.
The Ten Commandments, right? And then Ocean's 11 is right after that in Exodus.
The Book of Clooney is my favorite Bible book.
Oh, it's great. I think it really it puts all the other the other Gnostic Gospels to shame. That's the one that people really should put in the new Soderbergh version. But yeah, man, dude, I saw it. But that's the thing, is like, I saw it and I remember liking it as an 11-year-old. And then I saw it, I think the only other time I saw it since then was during COVID, like when I rewatched it and I was
20-year gap. Okay.
So it was a huge gap and yeah. I didn't remember the movie that much as far as like the specifics. Like I remembered, oh, okay. Yeah. They have rob a casino. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, all the other, you know, it's the biggest names of the time all together in one movie. They say fuck a couple times. You know, that sticks with you when you're an 11-year-old. And then I watched it again and I was just like, huh, it was just fun. And I can't, like, that's the thing is I can't, and I usually sometimes I will say fun is almost like a bad, like it's a fun, bad movie. But this is not a fun, bad movie. This is like a good, fun movie.
Okay, I'm glad that you brought up the dialogue, though, because mm-hmm. I do think that that's another thing I can venture down to very quickly, which is...
Hit me.
Again, this movie is just assuming it's the audience is going to buy into so much. And like everything falls into place so succinctly mm-hmm. and so perfectly. Like these guys just get break after break after break after break after break, man. Like you know, just from the phones being in the right place at the right time to like barely missing the camera things to, you know, wandering down a wrong hallway because they, you know, lost the message on their pen, and then just having like to happen to run into a nice security guard. They mm-hmm. happen to, like, George Clooney knows that bouncer at the end that's beating him up. Like
right.
everything just falls into place so perfectly. And you know what? To your point, because it's a fun movie, I could see why someone could be like, you know, suspend that belief just for a good time. Mm-hmm. But what bothers me more than that is like the kind of suave one-liners that they throw in, and like, you know, they're always like getting each other's goat. I'm like, you guys are literally should be the most stressed out, like just conniving, just like, I want to see fear out of all of you guys. And like, to be fair, I do think that they do a really good job with certain cast members. Mm-hmm. Why did I just forget his name?
Eddie Jemison, I think, comes to mind.
Thank you, Eddie Jemison.
Yeah, because he does a great job of playing the tension. He's sweating a lot. Carl Reiner, too. Giving him is literally, you know, you give a character ulcers whenever they get nervous. And of course, they're going to be able to react off of that and play off of that in the moment a ton of times whenever it matters.
But the thing that bothers me more, though, than like it, the fact that they put in all those two characters, it's not that they don't represent it. It's that it's so imbalanced compared to the other members of the heist. And remember, they're splitting this 11 ways. But what I really see is like three people planning a really good heist, two people who just seem to have cool toys and like can just hit a button when they need to. And then like George, like Matt Damon lifts one folder. And then George Clooney just wanders around a casino and mopes about his ex-girlfriend, and they all get equal shares. Like, you know, the workload is not balanced here. I don't want to be HR for a heist group in Vegas, but like, I would assume some complaints would come in through my office if I were.
There probably would be a lot of complaints, but also, hey, maybe some of these guys are smooth enough that they don't get a whole lot of complaints to HR.
But there's a difference between being smooth and just having it handed to you on a silver platter. Like, and like when I love the elaborateness of heists and I love 007 movies, but like at least those guys get the shit kicked out of them, you know, like they have to fight for it a little bit. Like I don't see enough of a struggle for like, you know, George Clooney and Matt Damon. It just, it comes across as like they seem entitled to that.
I hear you. I think, I totally see your point. I think I cannot say that that is an incorrect viewing of the film, right? Like I 100% get it, but also I still like you, even though your argument is sound and my cat is complaining about how much you are slandering her favorite actor, George Clooney, right now.
I'm sorry.
I'll apologize to Linus on your behalf after the fact. Oh, her favorite character should be Linus in this
movie.
I was
about to say it should be Matt Damon.
It should be Matt Damon. I think, you know, the more I was thinking about it as we've done this episode too, it's not just that it's like, that I feel like I'm having fun watching it, but it's that I feel cool. I like watching cool people pull something off. And I think that also like it feels so dumb to say that. I recognize how dumb I sound by being like, I love watching cool people do cool stuff, man. But no, it's no, just no, like it, no. But I can't, it's just that like the switch has been flipped and I don't know, like it's rusted in the on position and I can't, despite your very valid points, I can't unflip that switch.
Well, it's kind of like when you watch like a commercial for Corona and like everyone's on a beach and having a good time. And like, you just instantly, your brain associates Corona with like, you know, good times and like, you know, sexy 20 somethings on a beach with white sand playing volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
But then in reality, you're just, you know, at somebody's shitty back porch in Los Feliz, you know, looking for a lime in some random person's house, 'cause you're at a party. It's right. That juxtaposition. Like, I was just recently in Vegas and I can tell you like Vegas is not that sexy. It's like as a sexy place as that film would leave you to believe in. You know, it is a 20-year-old movie at this point. So you could make, you know, there's a generational gap, you know, from when the movie was made to the present day, but you know, they just made Ocean's 8 and they didn't go back to Vegas. And, you know, part of me has to believe that, you know, that may be because, you know, it's that illusion kind of didn't hold up.
You know, and by that,
it's Vegas is it's very noisy and there's a lot of people there. And again, it, for me, that's not to complain about it, because I think people go to the party. My point is, it is already a place that has a lot of attention and noise going on, and to pull off something like this with undetected, with you know, all that considered, just again, very hard for me to believe. Right. And maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just a realist, man. Maybe that you're right. Maybe I need to learn how to have more fun watching movies. You know, maybe I need to, you know, just, you know, get this stick up out of my ass and, you know, go play some slots and have a good time. But,
well, you know what? But Joe, because you got to put yourself in those, because I'll say this, you're a handsome man. You can put yourself in George Clooney's shoes and pretend that you're the guy going off on the heist.
I don't think that I'm George Clooney handsome, but Jay, I think you are George Clooney handsome.
I don't think Clooney handsome, but I'll put myself in those shoes.
If you're going to rob a casino, call me.
I will.
And I will at least, you know, even if I'm not a part of it, I will at least point you in the right direction to try and help you do it in a way that's, you know, safe and effective.
Will you let me stay at your house while you're wearing a robe? Can we make that happen at least?
You know what? Yeah, and I'll, you know, just put that little thing on your door. I can change the towels once a day. Just okay, let great. Me know, unless you put that little thing up on your door. We'll make it happen.
Cool. I'm going to show up with 10 of my most attractive friends, and we're going to...
No! You've learned nothing!
Listen, I didn't expect to learn anything during this podcast, and the prophecy has been fulfilled as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? And to hear somebody who isn't my mother talk about why they like this film, I think was very eye-opening for me. Because remember, a lot of my viewing and appreciation for fans of this movie goes directly through my mother, just because, again, this is her favorite movie. And if my mom's listening, disown me. I know this is your favorite movie, like, but I'm not going to change my mind.
That's fine. I think
I'm sorry.
I think the more disparate your own taste in art is from your mom's is very good. Speaking as somebody who my mom has no idea, she has never seen my favorite movie, which is There Will Be Blood, and I doubt she ever will.
Oh, I like that movie too. Yeah,
it's a good movie.
And here's the thing, Daniel Day-Lewis, very handsome man, and all these people, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, they've played character-y people in other films. You know, we've got Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Matt Damon, yes. The Informant, you know, like I believe it in certain films if that's the expectation going in, but like, again, not all of them at once.
And hey, even Matt Damon being character-y in Ocean's 13 absolutely did not work.
No.
100% did not work. So maybe it's a—I don't know. Maybe it's a Soderbergh thing. Maybe old Steven Soderbergh's got to just let people be pretty and go the rest from there. I mean, I watched what was this movie? Let Them All Talk, that just came out on HBO a little while ago with Meryl Streep on a cruise ship.
Oh, I saw a thing for that. Yeah,
and it's. It's not as fun as Ocean's 11 by any means. Totally different kind of movie. But I enjoyed myself watching it. And I was like, hey, Steven Soderbergh's just going to let Meryl Streep be a goofy, drunk Meryl Streep on a cruise ship a little bit. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And listen, Meryl Streep, again, very versatile actor. Got a lot of range. Let her mm-hmm. play with it. Put her on a cruise ship. And she was in Mamma Mia, for God's sake. She practically owns the sea at this point. Oh, God, I love her in
Mamma Mia. She's fantastic in Mamma Mia.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, Joe, this has been a pleasure.
This has been great. Thank you.
I'm so happy that you made me have a good reason to watch Ocean's 11 again. Because now I'm gonna dream of casino heists and all of the things that are never going to happen in Vegas ever in my lifetime, but I can dream about it.
I would just dream with, you know, instead of tens, just do like some sixes. Unless you're going to rob like a Hugo Boss store and you need to like replace 11 mannequins very quickly. Like just keep the expectations average. Just, you want to be undetected.
Yeah. I don't want it to look like a cologne ad. I want it to look
exactly.
like a Burger King ad.
Well, I mean, does he like make it a Target ad? Those go in and out, man. I don't remember the last Target ad I saw.
All right. I mean, you know what? That's a good. I'm gonna take a look at the next JCPenney circular I see, and that's gonna be my cast list for the new Ocean's movie, where they decide to rob the Macy's because you got to get a better department store. Joe, if the listeners want to find your work. And argue with you about Ocean's 11, where can they do that?
They can do that on Twitter at Joe Hospitor or on Instagram at Schmo Hospital, SCHMOEHOSPITAL.
And I, by the way, to the listeners, if you are a fan, and I don't say this, not even a fan of The Sopranos, but if you enjoy it and you are, if you enjoy funny things, or ASMR or both. Joe put together one of the funniest things I have seen this year, which is a supercut of all of the people getting their backs padded in The Sopranos. And that is available. It's still on your Instagram, right?
It's on my Twitter. Yeah, I think it's perfect. Still my pinned tweet. Thank you. It's my magnum opus of COVID.
It's fantastic.
Of quarantine.
It's truly, I sat there for both times that I watched it. It's just stunned and astounded and just really, it's a whole journey. It really takes you to a place. So go check that out. You can find me at Diet J on Twitter and Instagram. JLightComedy.com for all the other stuff that I do. If you like the show, consider telling a friend or subscribing to the Patreon, where you get bonus episodes starting this week, every week, and other content that we're going to be throwing up soon. Joe, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Jay. This is great.
Happy to have you. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.
Not Ocean's 11.
Hey. Hey now.